Amen. Tonight we will be talking about healthy relationships. I guess that's as opposed to unhealthy relationships. I believe that we all desire healthy relationships, whether they are just friend to friend relationships or family relationships or romantic relationships. I think we all desire that. As we get started with the lesson, one of the things that it talks about in the intro of this lesson is remembering that we are made in the image of God. And I think sometimes we just kind of breeze through that statement. But we are created in God's image. That's what separates us from the animal kingdom. We have a soul. I believe that God... Well, I know that God created us as eternal beings because our soul never dies. So there is a part of us that will pass away, but at the resurrection, we believe that we will rise again in some bodily form. I personally believe we will recognize each other. It will be a body probably similar to what we have. So that part of us that is eternal, that's God is eternal. Our soul lives forever. We don't just pass away. We don't just go to sleep. We don't believe in soul sleep. So that is one of the things. God also created us, I almost said invented. God created us as intelligent beings. We learn. I believe that we learn until the day that we die. Every day we probably should be trying to learn something, trying to expand our knowledge. And in the relationship that we have with God, that is a special relationship because we are born or created in His image. We are eternal beings in that we have a soul that lives forever. We are emotional beings. Animals operate on instinct. They do not think. They do not have the ability to reason. They can develop patterns. And as a hunter, I am amazed at the intelligence level of the white-tailed deer. I promise you, I have lost more than I have won. And I guess if I spent 24 hours a day in the woods, 365 days a year, I'd be pretty good at learning the trails and how to avoid stuff. So they don't learn. They operate by instinct. We learn. We learn patterns. We learn language. We learn how to write, communicate. So all of that goes in together with what we're going to talk about today. I believe that as Christians, our relationship should be better than the world's. Let me clarify that. I believe that we should treat people the right way, whether they treat us the right way or not. If they don't reciprocate, then sometimes, and we're going to talk about this in the lesson, sometimes you're just going to have to walk away from a relationship. It is not healthy to hang around people that are cursing, smoking, drinking, carousing on the weekends. That is not a healthy relationship. You can still witness to them. You can still try to be friends with them, but you're just not going to be able to hang out with them. So in that standpoint, we need to make sure that our relationships are healthy in that we are treating people the way that God desires us to treat people. We should treat people fairly. We should treat people with respect. We should do all of those things. That's being Christ-like. We should treat people differently than the world treats them. When you greet someone, they should notice something different about you. You don't have to advertise. If I have to tell you I'm a Christian, I probably need to tell you I'm a Christian. They should pick up on that. There's something different about you. So as we move through this, let's talk about ways that we can strengthen our relationships and our ability to do that. Somebody, a volunteer, I realize some of these questions put us maybe on the spot, but somebody tell me what is one of your strongest relationship skills? We all have different skill sets. What is one of your, somebody give me your...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that is a very good trait, because we get into trouble when we start prejudging people. And that's easy to do. That's easy to do. The scary part about it is we only have about, 5 to 15 seconds for a first impression. That is scary when you think about it, because the next few minutes, few hours, or few days or years, guys, we might have blown the introduction when we ask our wives out, but we recovered somehow or another. Might not have been real smooth there in the front, but somehow or another, we got it back on track. So regardless of how long the relationship asks, the relationship could be determined in that 5 to 10 seconds. That's why you have to make sure we're at least cognizant of the fact we need to be present ourselves as intelligent and able to hold a conversation. How should our relationship with God impact our relationships with others? That's exactly right. I preached that Sunday, I believe, the greatest commandment. Treat others the way you want to be treated. We should treat them the way God treated us. He loved us when we were unlovable. He reached for us when others probably turned their back on us. So as long as we abide by that, then we're going to be good. I believe that Christian values build strong relationships. As a Christian, if you have Christian values, you got a head start on relationships, because we should be the ones that are leading the charge as far as relationships. Also, if we look at our relationship with God and use that as a foundation to build upon, then our relationships with others will be easier to maintain, and they will be easier to cultivate, because we have those God-like qualities as Christians in our life, and I believe that will help. Most of us are familiar with the David and Jonathan story. The Bible tells us that their relationship, I believe this is found in 1 Samuel chapters 18 through 20, their relationship was one that was very close. If you look at Jonathan and David and study that out, it is really amazing. Number one, they were friends. Number two, they were close friends. Think about Jonathan. He was the heir apparent to the throne. He was the son of Saul, the first king of Israel. And as the son of the king, he should have been the one to inherit the throne. David was an outsider. David was the youngest son of Jesse. He was the one that got all the grunt work. While his brothers were out fighting, David was out delivering food for them. And so Jonathan is way up here. David is probably way down here. Here's the kicker that should have been a thorn in Jonathan's side is David was actually going to be the guy that would succeed him. Because God said, I'm going to take the throne from Saul. I'm going to give it to David. So David is actually the king that will take Jonathan's position that he thought he was entitled to. Yet in spite of that, they became friends. I believe they became friends. Number one, David had a heart after God. If you look at David's life, a man after God's heart. If you look at Jonathan, he was a even keel guy regardless of what his dad had taught him. And we see in the end of Saul's life how catastrophic that turned out. Yet Jonathan, and I believe that is a great illustration of it, doesn't matter what your mom and dad do or your great-grandfather did, we can get away from that. We can still be successful. Just because your parents got divorced don't mean you have to get divorced. Just because your grandpa was a bootlegger doesn't mean you have to be an alcoholic. I believe we can overcome that. I believe that through the power of God. So Jonathan, good, strong friend, doesn't have the traits of his dad. David, instead of using that to kind of rub it in with Jonathan, I believe was a very humble guy, and he valued their friendship. The older I get, the more I value friendships. True friendships. Saw a cartoon one time, this elderly lady sitting in the front row of a very large funeral parlor. Her husband's casket is there in front of the undertaker's, kind of leaning over talking to her. And she said, "I really just don't understand." She said, "I really thought we needed a place this big because Earl had over 5,000 friends on Facebook. But nobody showed up at the wake." That tells us all we need to know about friends. Your online friends don't mean anything.
Facebook too.
And Facebook too. Your friends are the ones that will be there. Your friends are the one you can call and say, "Pray for me." You don't have to worry about everybody in the church knowing what your request was. Amen. Friends are somebody you can count on. Friends are the ones that will be there. And I believe that is what we should cultivate as Christians, is those good, solid relationships that go just beyond friendship. We call each other brother and sister in the church as a sign of respect, but it also goes deeper than that because we are brothers and sisters. I'm closer with church people than I am some of my family, just because we have that relationship with God, and that binds us together, and we have that in common. So David and Jonathan cultivate this relationship. If you look at David, his brothers looked down on him. They viewed him as the kid brother. He's the youngest. He's the run of the family. He probably had all those jokes. Jonathan is way above his league as far as you would think in a peer group. Yet in spite of this, they have a friendship that cultivates into something that is very deep and very special. It takes faith and courage to build friendships. Because friendships are basically built on faith initially, right? And a lot of people who have been hurt in relationships have problem forming other relationships because all they remember is the hurt and the pain, and they're afraid to open themselves up and make themselves available to be hurt again. I almost use the word vulnerable. I have to sneak up on that word. Can't just spit that one out. Still have trouble with that word. I practiced and practiced, got right there to it, Brother Hawkins, and it still tripped me up. Vulnerable. So when we look at that, sometimes we will have to open ourselves up. If not, you're never going to have another relationship. I'm not going to get personal, but how many of you have ever been hurt in a relationship? I have. I think we all have. Eventually, things happen. Have you ever had a great friendship and then interest changed? Really nothing to blame. They just had different interests than you. If you're single and your best friend gets married, that changes the relationship. It changes the relationship. Because the married dude's going to probably be hanging out with his family. You're going to still be having to hang out with some singles. So these things go into forming relationships. Relationships can be complex. Amen. Human beings are complex people. Have you ever thought about what makes some people tick? And then you say, maybe I don't need to go there. All right. First Samuel chapter 18, verses 1-3. Somebody, if you can get that and read that for me. First Samuel chapter 18, verses 1-3. You get it, just read it. 1 Samuel 18, 1-3. Okay. Three. So what do you think the Bible means when it says their souls were knit together? Had a bond that went deeper than we're just friends. Went deeper than we have things in common. Brother Randolph.
I see in Jonathan the love that was that made him get with David's soul. His love was so great he caused him to step aside and let God have his way in him. I think he saw that the best man for the job that he was not himself.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Saul. I mean,
David. Mm-hmm.
Well, then, yeah, that's a perfect love.
Yes.
Openly and willingly step aside
so that ego doesn't get in the way. We can be honest in this room. What kind of things cause us to instantly connect or instantly be repelled by someone? Remember the 5 to 15 seconds? What are some things that could cause us to be turned off by somebody? Or have you ever introduced yourself to someone and you instantly you liked them? Tone of voice.
Yeah.
Tone of voice is big. Body language. Body language. Yeah. You can tell pretty close. You can tell pretty early on how warm or how, and there's nothing wrong with whether you are a warm, I'm a warm person. I'll get all up in your space if you're not careful. The little invisible circle around someone is about 18 inches, which is about the width from your fingertips to your elbow. You ever shook hands with someone and they locked elbow? And you went to step in and they said, uh-uh. You need to learn to read body language. They're not comfortable enough yet. So respect that. But if I shake hands with someone and they do that, I don't get offended. They're just not as warm maybe or comfortable as I am. I don't. But when I shake hands with you, I'll step in, Brother Randolph. Right. If they got shifty eyes, you probably need to watch them. Do what? Evil eyebrows. There you go.
What you said is body language will tell you the person.
Mm-hmm.
And if a lot of people in the same space would not.
Right.
I mean, they got something that invites you in.
Mm-hmm. But they are folks for that. You ever been around someone that made you extremely uncomfortable? I have. I have been in situations where maybe passing someone in a dark alley on the way to a parking lot or something, or maybe in a parking lot, and something just, I think women are more attuned to this than men. My wife is not here, but when, y'all can tell her I said this. As best I can figure, her woman's intuition is somewhere around 99.9% correct. I have finally started learning to listen to her. If she tells me you need to watch that guy, there's something about him, she doesn't need to go into a lot of detail. I've started listening to her. I don't know how women pick up on that.
You know, me and my wife just came back. I'm off the book and you're reading it. They said, one thing is watch out for TikTok.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I'm going to read the TikTok. And the one who saw the people was her.
Right. Exactly. I don't know what it is about women, but they're more attuned to that than sometimes men are. So I believe there is that something. Now then, let me take that to one step further. Spirit-filled people, I believe that the Holy Spirit in us picks up on evil spirits in people too. Where you feel something, it's like, whoa, something ain't right about that dude. Something's just not right. And I believe that we should be attuned to that. If you feel danger, that's, you know, quickly, it's amazing how fast, I call it your lizard brain. that little part right back there at the base of your brain, the fight or flight. You've only got a couple of seconds. Do I, you know, can I outrun him or can I beat him? But your fight or flight, you need to learn to listen. So we make decisions very quickly sometimes with people, and sometimes are wrong, sometimes are right. I would always say go with your gut instinct or whatever you feel, Brother Randolph.
I'm pretty sure every one of us can relate to this. How many times or how many times have you run into somebody and looked at you and looked away real quick? Like, you knew that that person had something very demonic wrong with him.
Mm-hmm. And you should be attuned to that. You should listen to that. Yes. You can feel that. You can feel that. And there are some people that are some dark places, and we need to be aware of that. So how does focusing on ourselves detract from our relationship with others? It can't always be about me. In a relationship, there's going to have to be compromise. We can't go to my restaurant I pick every time. Do what now? Yeah, eventually, yes. That's a $10 word. I like that. Reciprocate. I can say that word. I'll throw that one out there. Reciprocate. I like that. We do. That's what it's all about, right? We'll go to your restaurant tonight. We'll go maybe to mine next week or whatever. That is what makes a healthy relationship. Now then, if we take that a step further, what does loving others as I love myself look like in a relationship? Put your needs before mine. That's powerful. That will strengthen a relationship. And there are going to be times when all of us need encouragement. But it shouldn't be every Sunday. Surely to goodness we can get charged up enough to help someone else. And again, back to Brother Hawkins' deal about reading body language. If you come into church, it's pretty easy to pick out the person that might be struggling with something. You don't have to get all nosy and figure out what's wrong with them. Just a simple, I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. I appreciate you. I love you. Sometimes that does so much good to someone that is struggling with something. If they want to open up and talk about it, that's fine. If they don't, it's still fine. I don't need to know what the need is. All I need to do is reach out to them and say, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. It's going to be all right. And then maybe they'll feel comfortable enough to open up, maybe not. But if I'm treating you the way I want to be treated, if I come into church and maybe something happened and I just need some encouragement, I sure would appreciate a pat on the back and, hey, everything's going to be all right. Appreciate what you're doing. Man, we're in this together and we can get through this. So I believe that when we start focusing on other people as we focus on ourselves, then that can build healthy relationships. That can build lifetime relationships. I believe that God gives us the foundation for relationships. Two commandments, be considered, are in Matthew 22. This should sound familiar. I think I touched on this Sunday. We must first love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. If I do not love God, I'm going to have trouble loving other people. Amen. If I don't learn to love God the way that He loved me, then it's going to be hard for me to show that love to someone else. Because if I love God the way that He loved me, where He forgave me when I was unforgivable, He saved me when I was lost, then when someone comes up and they have failed, instead of glorying in that, what I'm going to do is reach down and pick them up. Instead of running over them, I'm going to stop and lift them up. Instead of saying, wow, that's one less competitor. No, I'm not going to look at it like that at all. I'm going to say, God, help them. Let me have a heart of compassion to help them. Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. If someone would get that for me, please. Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40, and then we'll answer some questions on those. Matthew 22:35-40. Yes, sir.
Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, asked him, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, bring all the law and the prophets.
So how do we love? How should we love the Lord our God? Heart, soul, mind. Everything. Everything. Heart, soul, mind. That means our emotions are geared toward Him. Our feelings are geared toward Him. So how do we demonstrate loving the Lord in our own lives? How do we demonstrate that? How do I demonstrate God's love in my life? Yes, keeping His commandments, living a life that is under control. Even if I was not a, Christian or someone that believed that you have to have the Holy Ghost to make it to heaven, I still don't have problem with the lifestyle that I live. The first thing that they ask you when you go in for a checkup is, do you drink or smoke, right? You say, no, I don't drink. Then they ask you the follow-up question. Well, are you sure? Because everybody drinks, evidently. Well, do you smoke? No. Do you smoke cigars? No. Have you ever smoked? No. Wow, okay. Got a liar on my hand. What else are you going to lie to me about? But it's been proven that if you're not a smoker or a drinker and you get sick, you're going to bounce back faster. You're going to enjoy a better quality of life, right? Cheating on your spouse is not a good idea. Getting drunk and driving is a horrible idea. You know, see how much stuff you don't have to worry about just living a good, clean Christian life. It's productive. It's healthy. It makes your life easier. And we're all going to expire one day. I would like to live as long as I can. I would like to be as healthy. I would like to enjoy my later years. So I don't see anything wrong with the lifestyle that we live, even if we did not believe what we believe about the afterlife. The second greatest commandment, I think Sister Marsha or somebody touched on that earlier, second greatest commandment. Love others the way God loved you. Treat others the way you want to be treated. I think that's what we call the golden rule, right? Treat others the way you want to be treated. If we abide by that, we're going to have great relationships. We're going to have really good relationships if we do that. Why do you think Jesus added the second commandment to His answer when asked about the greatest commandment? Why do you think He did that? Remember who asked Him the question? It was a lawyer.
You were saying, you have an answer, you have a 1A and a 1B. I think that's exactly what that is. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Don't know. You can't do the divine.
And if I'm not mistaken, I believe there's 630-something items to the law. It's amazing how you can get 635 out of 10. Sounds kind of like our Congress and representatives, doesn't it? Have you ever read a legal description of a piece of land? It'll make your head hurt. Turn left at corner of latitude, longitude, and then walk 22 steps and take a left. And it's like, oh, Lord. Have you ever tried to decipher the tax code? Pam was doing her taxes, and I'm like, don't sweat it. First of all, they don't even know what it is. Second of all, I don't understand it. They've got CPAs that don't understand it. Get it close. There's probably some kind of a plus or minus they fool with. And if you're in that gray area, then just let her rock. That's close enough.
They have to use that to keep you all bottled up. You don't know which way is up and down. They're trying to intentionally deceive.
And when you
a certain direction.
And when you look at laws, when you look at statutes, it's always statute one, right? Number two, paragraph A, subparagraph, double I, and it's like, wow, how did we get from the speed limit is 55 to this? Well, that's what happens when men get involved with the law. And I believe what God is trying to teach us is it's not cumbersome being a Christian. It shouldn't be. It's very simple. And what Jesus was saying to the lawyer, I can boil this down where even you can understand it. Love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. Boom. Can't spread the gospel if you don't love others.
Letting them know the first one is also contingent on
the second one.
It's very important, you know, looking at how Jesus is always in the Word, is always unified.
Right.
Even in Psalms 133, when it says, how great is because of together unity. And in the last paragraph of that psalm, he says, for that God has commanded blessing, even for life evermore. So, unity is forcing for us to move this Christian faith forward.
Absolutely. As you love him. And right back to Brother Randolph's point, it sounds like 1A, 1B. And when men get involved, I mean, I have heard, I don't know, but I've heard that the tax code is something thousands, maybe tens of thousands of pages long. That's what happens when we get involved with junk. And Jesus is saying, this is very simple. Love God with all your heart and then treat others the way you want to be treated. And guess what? Everything else will take care of itself.
That's the matter of words. We, in our listen, give in to that mentality and let that govern us. When in reality, you're being governed by the wrong thing altogether.
And if we're not careful, that bleeds over into the Christian relationships. A Christ-like relationship shouldn't be complicated, and it should not be based on, I am going to give based on what I get.
Childlike faith.
And children, I'm fascinated with kids. You ever seen our grandson, Liam? We could take him to Chick-fil-A or to McDonald's to the playground. He would come out of there and know every kid's name, where they were from. I'm like, how do you do that? He said, well, I just ask them what their name is. What's your name? I'm Liam. Where are you from? Kids, if we didn't get involved, kids could work a lot of stuff out on their own. Real quick. And it's just simply by introducing themselves and asking, where are you from? Your mom and dad here. If we're over on 65 in Alabaster, a lot of those folks are headed to the beach. He would know where they were from. They're from Tennessee, headed to the beach. I'm like, how do you know all of them? Well, I just talked to them. But isn't that pretty simple? That's the way it should be. The Ten Commandments emphasize keeping God first and not letting other relationships get out of from under his umbrella. If I love you like I love God, I won't steal from you. I won't cheat on you. I won't lie on you because I love you the way God loves me. And I am confident in that love. All healthy Christian relationships depend on the same component, having Christ-like love. With Christ's love, we are patient. We are patient. We are patient. Wow. That is not one of my virtues, but I'm working on it. Kind. And here's the kicker. Keep no record of wrongs. It is frustrating if somebody reminds you of something you did 5 years ago. It's like, dude, we need to let that go. Right? shouldn't be carrying a little tablet around with you writing something down. I'm going to remember that, bless God, I will. No, don't. If someone asks you to forgive them, forgive them. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7. What is another word for charity? Love. I guess just about every marriage ceremony, the minister reads that passage. I use it in every marriage ceremony I've performed because love has to be that. It has to be that. Agape love, yes. That has no boundaries. Does not ask what's in return, right? Because we will write, human nature will write somebody off in a heartbeat when they let you down. God keeps going back and going back and going back. What are we without love? Verses 1 through 3. I like that illustration that it gives. Sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. You ever thought about what that means? If you haven't, go to YouTube and look for the More Cowbell spoof that they do. Brother Daniel stepped out. But if you go over there to those cymbals, they sound great when they're played correctly. But if I just went over there with a stick and just started tapping on it, after about probably 30 seconds, you guys are like, okay, enough is enough. You are nodding your head. Evidently, somebody's done that. It's like, please. Can we please? Isn't that what we are without love? Irritating. Abrasive. So what are some of the aspects of love, 4 through 7? What is love? Patient. Kind. Long-suffering. Humble. Right? Putting you first instead of me. It's amazing how that works. But here's the great part about it. When you treat others with love like that, it's amazing how much better you feel. It works both ways. Which of the attributes of love do you think is easiest to live out? That's kind of a hard question. Which one's the easiest?
Your love of God, we treat all of
them. So if you use that, then there's not a more difficult or an easy one. They all take effort. I don't think we just sneak into any of them. They all take effort. I believe it's conscious effort too. But in a relationship, once we start using those, they become easier to use. Okay? Just be honest. Without honesty, I don't even think you have a relationship, do you? If a relationship is built on lies, it's going to crumble. It's too hard to keep up with them. Right? Where were you last night? Target. You don't even like Target. Walmart. Thought you was at Target. Then you get all tangled up with the open-ended questions. Yeah. Amen. Which one? Oh, I'm sorry. Which one? Let's do this. Let's do this since we're all friends in here. Somebody raise your hand and give me the one that you use the most out of those. Like you could be I'm a kind person, so I use kindness pretty. Somebody want to tell me what's one of the easiest ones for you? Maybe you exhibit that as one of your traits, or maybe it goes into your personality. Okay. 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 Kindness. Okay. My mom taught me, she said it doesn't take any extra effort to be nice to somebody. It takes the same amount of effort to be mean to them. Brother Caleb said he knows some people. And conceited people aggravate me. They aggravate me. Because you ain't good at everything. You might be good at something. Nobody's good at everything. Nobody's good at everything. Sometimes that is used to cover up an inferiority complex. Patience. Patience. Love is patient. Love is kind. Contentedness. We haven't really talked a lot about that one, but Paul, in one of his writings, talks about, I have learned in all circumstances to be content. Whether I had a lot or had a little, I was content. Love does not envy. I am content. I am content where I live. I am content with the job I have. I am content with my family. I am content. There is something about being content that the world does not have. Are you satisfied with God? Because doesn't everything that we have come from Him? And if we truly are in His will, then I should be content. Because there are going to be good years, there's going to be bad years, there's going to be illness, there's going to be sick. When you look back over your life, there's a lot of stuff that happens. Every year's not a good year. If it is, please give me your secret after church, and I'm going to apply it to my life. But I have learned to be content. Because if I am in the will of God, then God is not going to lead me down the wrong path. Brother Hawkins mentioned humility, does not boast, is not conceited. Encouraging. That's one of the easiest things to use to me is just encouragement, right? Things are going to get better by faith. They're going to get better. And if they don't, God's going to give you the grace to get through it. Forgiving. Love is not easily angered, not easily offended. And then Brother Caleb mentioned honest. How about protective and trusting? Our kids look to us for protection when they're children, don't they? They shouldn't have to worry about the boogeyman crawling out from under the bed and getting them, right? Because we go in there and pull up the cover and look under there and say, man, he's not under here tonight. We're going to go open the closet and show you. There's no monster in the closet. They look to us for protection. And we should protect our relationship with others and build them on trust. If you ever met somebody you just couldn't trust, you're just like, well, I'll give you another try, and then you can't trust them, then you give them another try, and it's like, hey, wait a minute, we got a problem here. Trust is not a strong suit. We got to figure that out. Boundaries for safe relationships. In my book, it shows a yellow line and a set of feet on one and a set of feet on the other. Boundaries. Not every relationship should be fostered in our lives. This is where it gets hard. You could genuinely like someone. Got a lot in common. We just kind of mesh. But there's something about the relationship that's not going to be healthy. Maybe they're not as committed to the Christian faith as you are. Maybe they're not as committed to church. And you realize everything is right, or seems to be, but there's one little thing that just doesn't feel right. And that one, sometimes you have to walk away from a relationship. And that's hard to do. That's hard to do. Sometimes you get into a relationship, and as it grows, you realize there was something under the surface that you didn't see at first. Now it's there. Now I have to decide, is that something I can live with, or is that something I need to walk away from? Sometimes we will have to walk away. Having love for others does not mean allowing them to hurt us or use us. And as we seek God for wisdom and compassion, we learn to set healthy boundaries with people who are self-centered or seek their own good or are using your relationship for their benefit. Proverbs 27 and 12. Proverbs 27 and 12. Brother Hawkins, sometimes it just all fits together. What was your story about pickpockets earlier? Not trying to embarrass you. Right? A prudent man, says, is aware or hides from evil. The man that's oblivious just walks on out there. Wife is tapping you on the shoulder saying, honey, that man's following us. Right? Is that what this, that's what that scripture means? We should be, not that we're paranoid. I'm not teaching that at all. But we should have our head on a swivel looking, especially in the world that we live in today. When a wise man is confronted with a dangerous situation, he's on the lookout for it. Not just whistling through the graveyard.
Vigilant.
Be watchful. Have your, be aware of your surroundings. I am a honest person, but when I go into a store like Walmart or somewhere, it is amazing to me at the ladies that leave their purses unattended in their shopping carts. I'm like, what are you doing? And then I'm afraid that they might hit me over the head with it. Like, you nosy thing, what are you doing? But seriously, it'll be wide open with their wallet in there, or they leave their kid in there and walk down. I'm like, guys, this is 2024. This is not 1960s. People that get out at the gas station, lady will sit her purse on the trunk and she's walking on. I'm like, lady, somebody could grab your purse and be gone. What? Be more aware. Don't be so trusting. What types of situations should be considered dangerous? What sort of situations? Yes. Right. And the scary part about it is these perverts, that's a strong word, I guess I can use that in this audience, that prey on kids, that are texting them pretending they're a teenager. And I'm like, wow. And what, parents, you've got to be vigilant. Got to be vigilant with that stuff that, you know, I am looking, I am tracking, my greatest fear when our kids was growing up was one of my kids being kidnapped or disappearing. I mean, how, wow, that's just, that would have to be devastating as a parent. And I don't know if they're dead or alive. I don't know where they are. What happened? You know, it just, and then you do have to give them breathing room to grow and to grow up, but you also have to protect them. I think there's a fine balance there. I think there's a healthy balance there. Right. Absolutely. Could be a neighbor down the street that you think is a straight-laced guy and something dark there. And it's like, wow, where, how does that happen? So I think we need to be aware. Again, back to the scripture and Proverbs. Need to be aware. Need to be looking. It's not an easy job being a parent. It's not easy. It. Right.
Trusting enough, but not enough to wear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Totally agree with that. And if I push that line a little too far, we can always come back to center if we need to. But I'm going to stray on the side of being too cautious than not cautious enough. And somebody that is honest and does not have evil in their heart will understand that. They will totally understand that. And if they don't, then your instinct was right. Let's wrap up with this real quickly. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. We're going to talk about responsibilities within relationships. And I think this is going to be an important discussion to wrap us up tonight. Responsibilities within relationships. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. If someone would read that. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Yes. So what should a person do when a friend falls? Pick them up. Encourage them. Say, we're both going to make it. What is not easily broken? And what does a threefold cord represent? It's a braided cord. And that could be what I take that to mean is my relationship is not built on one thing, but it's built on two or three or four things. And the more we twine and get things in common and our relationship starts to mature, then it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. You don't want a relationship that is hanging by a thread. You want a good, strong relationship. So what are some ways we can help our friends and families with relationships? Let's start with our kids. How can we help them with healthy relationships? Be a good example. Be a good example. And I know when girls get to dating age, we worry about the dudes they're dating, because I was a dude. I probably wasn't good enough for my wife. I'm sure my dad-in-law didn't think that initially. Right? So that's one of our fears. Don't marry some loser. Don't get in an abusive relationship. But I believe if we teach our daughters and our sons by example, if we have them in church where they're exposed to good, healthy relationships, I think that helps. I think that helps.
Dialogue with them too.
Yes. Very much so.
Some people think, well, this is negative, so I shouldn't be talking about this right here. Don't be so afraid of negative that you can't dialogue with your child, and you might give them some examples and whatnot, and make them think. They can be starting to have their head on the swivel and look and see.
Absolutely.
I've always said, don't wait.
No, go ahead. Right. 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 Let's. Absolutely, Brother Hawkins. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think this is healthy discussion. The time to talk about what do you do in that situation is we can't debrief that. We've got to be prepared. Honey, this is what you need to look for. If you feel uncomfortable, call me on your phone. If you feel uncomfortable, hey, call 911. I would rather overreact than now we've got a serious problem, right? Have your phone with you. If you feel uncomfortable, there's no shame in saying, let me out. I'm going into this store. I'm going to call mom and dad and I'll just wait on them. There's no shame in that. That's the right answer if you feel that way. And we should foster relationships where our kids know that if you feel that and expose, tell them, here's the things you look for. Here's the things that you should be on guard for. It's too late once it's happened. We've got to prepare before we get there, Brother Randolph. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'd rather call them and they come out and it was really nothing, right? And my house is burned down. I should have called you 15 minutes early and y'all might could have saved the thing. We don't wait till it's fully engaged before we decide that it might be time to call somebody. And use good friendships in the church. There are people in this church that have raised kids. If you have a problem, ask somebody that's raised a kid.